You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome once again to 15 Minute Friday. Easy to implement business tips for busy people who want to learn more and be better in the shortest amount of time possible. On 15 Minute Friday, I collaborate with extraordinary business people, providing you actionable insights in about 15 minutes, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little bit less. I'm your host, Ben Albert, and today I have a repeat guest. He was on Learn, Speak, Teach, episode 50. You might have already noticed I just replayed that episode a couple days ago. I have Stan Phelps back on the show. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Ben. Great to be here for the command performance.
Dude, I love it. And I asked my guest for a short bio. Stan kept it short and sweet, born at a very young age. And realistically, if you want to dive deeper into Stan's entire story and the tremendous amount of case studies, do listen to that replay episode. Today, I say we just dive right in.
Let's go for it.
What quote, statement, fact, what do you have for us to get started with today?
So I wanted to start with something that I think is something that's often overlooked. So here's the quote. Sampling is the lowest hanging fruit in all of marketing.
Sampling's the lowest hanging fruit. So I know what a low-hanging fruit is. What do you mean exactly by sampling?
So typically, and this is where I think it's overlooked, we think about sampling as something that we do for a prospective customer, right? How do we give them a taste of what we might be able to do for them? But what's often overlooked is that for the customers that we already serve, Ben, for the ones that are already paying us, on average, the research shows that of 100% of what we can do for them, on average, your customers that are already doing business with you, on average, know about 20% of your capabilities.
Wow.
Right? So we also know that the easiest way to, the easiest acquisition, right, is to upsell a current customer.
Yeah.
1/5 to 1/10 the cost, right? So sampling is the idea of how do you give them an additional taste? How do you let them try out an additional capability? And that's something I would challenge anyone listening to this is how do you take that customer that has, that maybe does one or two things with you, but how do you give them that additional taste so you can expand the business?
So we're almost bridging the gap. So they're already doing business with you. We would like to possibly upsell them because there's other ways we can help them and the cost of acquisition is pretty darn low. But they don't know about these additional products and services. So instead of just starting pitching on some, you know, quarterly call, you can actually provide a sample. Give us an example of what like a little nibble sample would look like, a specific case study, generalized, what's coming to mind?
So sure. So we've got the big game coming up. So we're recording this, what, a week, 10 days before, 10 or 11 before the Super Bowl.
What's so sad, Stan, is I think it's going to be April. This won't be out for at least 60 days. So
do we want to change that one then?
We can keep it.
Right.
I'm just worried about making predictions and being wrong on air. So just so you know, this will come out after the Super Bowl, but go on.
Right. So here's an example I want to share.
Please.
We're the Super Bowl. This is a great Super Bowl example. So years ago, Stacy's Pita Chip Company. Are you familiar with Stacy's?
Yeah, I've had there. Are they like healthier kind of chips?
Yeah, pita chips that, you know, typically kind of dipping. Scoop with dip. So this is a number of years ago. I think it was back in 2008. In lieu of advertising on the Super Bowl, which back then was $2.6 million for just 30 seconds.
Wow.
What they did was they found out that there was 133,000 people in the U.S. that either had a first or a last name that was spelled exactly like Stacy spelled her name. So no E in Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, no I-E. And what they did, which was really interesting, in lieu of buying that spot and having to produce that spot, they literally sent a black box that they FedExed to all of those Stacys. And the box, it was great, had five different types of Stacy's pita chips. And it had just a card that had four words on it. To Stacy, from Stacy.
Yes.
And just a creative way, because they shared that bond of a name, to be able to sample that product and get people talking about the experience. But what's even cooler is that their company started because of sampling, Ben. So back, this is going back to, I think it was the early 1990s, Stacy and her boyfriend at the time, they wanted to open a restaurant in Boston, but they didn't have the money. So very back then, it was novel. They created a little like food cart, like a sandwich cart. And they sold like healthy sandwiches in pitas.
Okay.
And pretty soon they were popular. Lines were forming around the block. And because people had to wait in these long lines, they decided that they would take over the leftover pita each day, cut it up into pieces, put a little seasoning on it, and then bake it in the oven. And as people were waiting in line, they would give them these little to kind of satiate their waiting.
Right.
And what they found is people absolutely loved the chips.
Yeah.
You know, not that they didn't like the sandwiches, but that's where the chip idea company was born. It was out of doing a little bit of a sample while people were waiting in line.
Love it. Love it. You're the king of case studies, so I'm going to want one more. And I'm curious, because that's very much, you know, B2C, and it's tangible. It's food. I mean, back in the day, little people actually know this about me. I did road shows for about 3 months, and I was making pierogies. And then basically I would go to BJ's and Sam's Clubs and set up a booth and cook the pierogies, tell a bunch of silly one-liners, like you can bake them, you can fry them, you can microwave them, or you can have Stan Phelps cook them for you, and just like tell little jokes like that. People would taste it and then buy it. That's very tangible. What if I'm B2B and maybe it's my services are a little more premium and there's labor involved, and it's not as simple as like a 25 sec, you know, you can lose 25 cents on a food sample.
Right.
My samples are a little more labor intensive. What would be like more of a B2B scenario? If anything comes to mind, or
I'm trying to think, you know, certainly in the 5,000 plus case studies I've collected, I certainly have a lot of B2B examples. You know, it could just be a product or a service that you provide that you could do in a very small way to give them a taste. And I'm trying to think of anyone that might come to mind, and I'm blanking right now.
I'll give you mine, and tell me if I'm actually like doing it properly or this or that. And I didn't even think of it as sampling. So especially for my long form podcast episodes, there's a podcast. We create a cartoon version of every guest. We create SEO optimized show notes, which have quotes. We take one of those quotes and turn it into a digital graphic. Something I didn't do in the past, but I'm currently doing, is taking the video and turning it into micro content, and basically creating all this content that I'm going to distribute to build my reputation and my audience, but they're also freebie content for my guest, and all they had to do was show up and talk about themselves. Now, not I don't go and pitch myself, like that's not the point of the podcast, but we do that for our clients. So anyone who's been a guest on my show gets a sample of what I could do for them at scale, just because it's part of my promotion to do it for free for them.
I love it. You're building that in as kind of a value add, something that differentiates you, right? And I think the key thing is here is that we need to understand that, and Wells Fargo actually got in a lot of trouble doing this. They understood the power of upselling a client, so much so that they abused it. But, you know, there was a time where the average banking customer only had 2.5 products. Like a checking account would be one, or a savings account, or a CD, or a line of credit, or a credit card. The average Wells Fargo customer had like over 7. And the thing is, the more products and the more things that you can do for a customer, the less they become a potential flight risk, right? The more that you're going to be able to retain them. So it's not, I think it's important to look at it as potentially incremental revenue, but you also have to look at it as building the long-term or the lifetime value of that customer.
Lifetime value. And give us, we're going to go into integration work in a second, but you're the king of differentiation when it comes to lifetime value and building that relationship long-term. What are your thoughts on how I can start differentiating myself in my current client relationship so it doesn't feel transactional, just being like, I want to be different. I want my clients to be excited to pay me, happy to pay me. What are some additional thoughts on how to make people happy to pay you?
Yeah, so sampling is one of 10 different types of what I call a purple goldfish, right? So these are little things that you do to go above and beyond the transaction. Because to your point, business can be very transactional, but we're human beings, right? And the idea is that things that you can do, little things that you can do to reinforce warmth and competence go a long way to like building the relationship. And so to me, it's small things like how do you follow up and say thank you, right? So you're not taking that business for granted and your customer realizes that you appreciate them. How do you make things convenient for them? Right? How do you become easy to do business with? How do you eliminate friction as part of the process? And then sampling is one of those elements, right? Yeah. Another one could be how do you guarantee your products or services, right? How do you stand behind them so you know that that customer knows that they're there for you for the long term?
They're all slices of the bigger pie of an entire series you've written. So in a second, we're going to do homework from this episode. We're going to write down notes, but while we're grabbing our pencils, tell us a little bit more how we can dive deeper. Obviously the last episode, the long form, I recommend people listen to that. That's in the show notes. But your books, your speaking, where should we go to learn more from you, Stan?
Yeah. So all of my books, and there's a whole series of books on Amazon. So it's the Goldfish series of books. It starts with purple and it goes all the way to black, colors, gems, metals as part of it. So that's one place. The other place is my website is stanphelpsspeaks.com. And on there, you can learn about all of the different books in the series. And a concept that I'm passionate about, this idea of creating a differentiated experience, right? For the employees that are part of your team, you need to create a great employee experience. And ultimately, that translates to creating a differentiated customer experience that gives your customers a reason to talk about their experience with you and come back and want to purchase more.
Love it. So StanPhelpsSpeaks.com. It's in the notes. I'm lucky I've been able to see behind the curtain. I had, you know, an hour with Stan in that previous episode you can check out, speaking to him one-on-one and reading his book, Pink Goldfish. Huge advocate for everything you're doing. So I do recommend people go deeper with you, Stan. But give them something to integrate. I learned this years ago when I would just consume, and then get nothing done. I want them to take just one piece of homework from this conversation and go take action. What do you recommend we do?
You know, what's the part of your business that often, or the capability that you have that often gets overlooked, but is really appreciated by your customers? And then figure out ways that you can sample that product or service as part of going above and beyond for the customers you already serve.
Love it. So what is an overlooked piece of my business? How can I sample this easy, low cost, low barrier entry with current customers and possibly get some upsells in doing so?
Yep.
Easy peasy, man. I'm probably going to start a new show and invite you again because I love spending time with you.
Always a pleasure, Ben.
Thanks for coming on. It's been fun.